Falls, W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report, the New Hampshire primary.
Donald Trump takes the Granite State.
When you win Iowa and you win New Hampshire, they've never had a loss. There's never been. So we're not going to be the first, I can tell you.
He got 54.6% of the vote to Nikki Haley's 43, but she's not giving up.
With Donald Trump, Republicans have lost almost every competitive election.
American University political analyst Amy Dacey isn't discounting Haley's chances.
There are Republicans in these primaries and places where independents can vote looking for the alternative.
For now, Biden campaign officials say Donald Trump has all but locked up the GOP nomination. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
President Biden is going to be sending two of his top White House aides to join his campaign sooner than expected, to the relief of Biden allies who had been urging such a move.
New Hampshire Republicans say their top issues were the economy and immigration. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is declaring 2024 the year of the worker. He used his State of the State speech last night to invite ideas to boost child care and public education and paid family leave.
Let's hear it. I will work with any legislator, any partner, any stakeholder who's willing to engage in meaningful conversations on these issues to do the right thing for Wisconsin.
Evers also says he'll make over-the-counter contraceptives free to people on Badger Care Plus. The state of Wisconsin issued more than 60,000 initial professional licenses last year. That's a 38% increase over 2022. The head of the Department of Safety and Professional Services says the average review time for new licenses is down to less than 4 days. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Eau Claire City Council unanimously passed a resolution in support of the relocation of refugees to the Chippewa Valley. The move comes in the wake of an attempt by the Eau Claire and Chippewa County boards to pause the resettlement of 75 refugees to the region in 2024. The City Council will not play a role in the resettlement process, which is run by an organization called World Relief, but City Council member Josh Miller said he felt compelled to present the resolution to show that the project has broad support. Criminal charges have been filed against a second man who was allegedly involved in a violent burglary in Barron County. According to court records, charges were filed against 40-year-old Ricardo Antonio Dominguez, and a warrant for his arrest was issued. Charges were filed against the other man, 33-year-old Ryan Charpentier, earlier this month after he was arrested. The charges stem from accusations that the men assaulted a 70-year-old man in Barron County in December and stole nearly $14,000. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 93.5, The Tap.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Search for a new Bucks head coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks stunning the NBA by firing Adrian Griffin just after 43 games. Griffin had talked about the need to improve on defense, but things went from bad to worse. NBA analyst Tony Smith.
We know they lost a defensive stud in Drew Holiday, swapped him out with a guy who's not known for defense, Dame Lillard. So you know there was going to be a drop defensively, but I think they've dropped too far defensively. Back when they were winning championships and contending for a championship, they had been first in defense a rating 2 years in a row. They're now 22nd.
So Bucks assistant coach Joe Prunty has been appointed interim head coach while the team promises a brief search. Baseball, the Brewers signing Phillies first baseman Reese Hoskins to a two-year deal, $34 million with a one-year option. The 30-year-old made his big league debut in Philly in 2017. College basketball, the Badgers beat the Minnesota Gophers 61-59. Wisconsin coming off a win over Indiana. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Patchy dense fog this morning. Could be a little light freezing drizzle, too, with temperatures hovering a little below the freezing mark. Otherwise, cloudy, dreary, kind of foggy off and on through the day with a high of 35 tonight. Could see a little light freezing rain or a few snow flurries late tonight, our low 32 tomorrow. Cloudy with showers and a high right around 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
The Todd Almost Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd, where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance. I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up? This
is a big party,
man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, G. Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
Hey, man. They're talking about 35 to 40 degrees or more, even some 50s, for the next 3 weeks.
I know. It's kind of unbelievable. But
paradise.
At least we'll get rid of some of this ice
man,
on the sidewalks.
That will take us into almost the second week of February, and in the 30s and 40s, man. You know what that means?
What does that mean, Earl?
Oh, I'll talk about it later. I forgot. I got a guess. So, listen, I am so excited to have back, you know, one of the top immigration attorneys in the nation, Attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch. You know, she is an immigration attorney in private practice. She founded her own law firm, Lincoln Goldfinch Law, in 2015 and now has offices in Austin and Waco. Kate is actively involved in the Austin legal community as an activist for immigrants and as a board member of Casa Marinella and the Austin Bar Association Civil Rights and Immigration Section. She's a former board member of the Austin Bar Association solo and small firms section. And I'm going to stop because this is probably old and you probably are doing a million other things other than that. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
Hi, Earl. Good morning. How you doing?
It's always great to have you on board. It's been too long.
It has been a while. I'm happy to be back. We got lots to discuss.
We have a lot to discuss. Immigration is on the docket everywhere. And depending on who you're listening to, our nation has been overrun with immigrants, illegal immigrants. And it's all because of Joe Biden's policies. Donald Trump had it all under control. He had it, everything. If they would have just continued to follow Donald Trump's policies, we wouldn't be dealing with the immigration problems we're dealing with now. How much of that is, you know, fiction? And how much of it is true?
My opinion is that the opposite is true. And, you know, for context, I've been practicing immigration law here in Texas for over 15 years through several presidential administrations, and I've worked with migrants and asylum seekers throughout that entire time. And what we had in place before the Trump administration was a system where people would come to the border and they'd ask for asylum, and they would be temporarily detained and put through a screening process called a credible fear interview. And many of them did not qualify, and if they didn't, they would get deported. And that it was an imperfect system, but it was functional. Excuse me. What happened during the Trump administration is he closed the border during COVID, just completely shut the border off to asylum seekers. And that created this ballooning population along the U.S.-Mexico border of desperate migrants and asylum seekers. And really, the whole Biden administration has been grappling with that backlog and the failure to have any sort of mechanism to process asylum seekers.
So when you, so when people hear what they're hearing and are being led to believe that these people are going to overrun the border, it's just not true. I read something that I think stated that somewhere around, I guess, 80% or more, or 90% of those people who gather at the border, at some point in time, the United States has some direct involvement with them. It's not like 60% of those people are rushing the border and rushing into our nation. It's just not true.
That's right. That's right. The borders are not porous. They're really well secured by Border Patrol. There are migrants. There are migrants who are hoping to apply for asylum. And that is a combination of what has always been true. We've always had migrants from various countries. You know, in the 70 years that we've been recognizing asylum seekers, we've had, you know, people from Haiti after an earthquake, or people from Venezuela after a political breakdown, or Central America. I mean, that just always occurs. Now what we have is that plus, you know, 3 years of, or almost 4 years now, of no way for people to really seek asylum. So it creates this balloon of people, plus political instability and global warming, which, you know, sort of increases the need of people to flee their homelands. And then what I would say is one of the biggest factors at play is that we have in the United States a farce going on, right? We have a false situation going on where we have a real need for immigrant labor. We have jobs for immigrants in the United States all over the country. We have a need for immigrants in all industries, in the agricultural industry, in the construction industry, in the hotel and services industries, in the semiconductor, I mean, all levels, and certainly in the, you know, care for the elderly, and that's only going to increase. So we have the need for immigrants. But we have an immigration system that has not been fixed or updated in over 40 years. So there's also no legal way for the people to come and fill the jobs that are available to them. So we have the situation where we're inviting them on one level, but also not allowing them in on another level. And until we fix that critical fundamental issue, we're going to continue to have illegal immigration. But fixing that issue requires Congress to get together and recognize the fact that immigrant labor is a good thing for this nation, and to pass an immigration reform bill that actually increases immigration. And unfortunately, when we see Congress discussing immigration, the you know, conservatives on the right, the only thing they will discuss is enforcement and punishment for immigrants, as opposed to, okay, what can we do to actually allow immigration so that illegal immigration will naturally decline?
So the backlog of court cases, 1.5 million and more, that mm-hmm. has gone on, especially since Donald Trump shut down the border. And the fact that we've got Congress that won't invest the amount of money that needs to be invested to address those backlog cases and move everything forward is really at the root of why we can't get this fixed, right? They want to invest the amount of money that needs to be invested to fix it.
Sure. I mean, that's one of the issues, is the court system. And under the Trump administration, we used to have a system where immigrants in the court system, Let's say someone who's been in the country for 10 years. They may be undocumented, but maybe they have kids here, you know, who are born here. They have a life here. They don't have a criminal history. Let's say they get pulled over in Texas for driving without a license. Well, pre-Trump, that person would not have been put into the deportation court machine, right? They would have been released because they're not an enforcement priority.
Right.
The agency wants to enforce against people who have serious criminal histories. You know, they may be connected to gangs, et cetera. So people who don't really, I'll say the word, deserve to be in the court system were not placed in the court system. But then the Trump administration came in and said, every single immigrant that is apprehended or arrested for any reason whatsoever is put into deportation proceedings, which was massively impactful on lots of families, blended families in the United States. But it had the added impact of overburdening the court system, because now all of these people are in the court system. And it's actually the latest statistic I heard was 3 million cases in the court system. So what really needs to happen is we need to go back to what are our enforcement priorities and release the people who don't deserve to be in deportation from the process, because that would just, you know, immediately clear out probably at least half of the people in the court system. And then we could focus on really who should be the enforcement priorities, because when we're focusing our attention on someone who might have a serious criminal conviction and someone who has no criminal conviction, well, then we're spreading out and diluting our resources in a way that's unsafe for us.
If you're just joining us, my guest on the line is attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch. She is a nationally renowned immigration attorney. So let me, when Republicans have you know, basically branded people at the border as rapists, as drug dealers, fentanyl pushers, and they're coming and they're going to bring crime to our nation, and people have bought into that. Nothing could be further from the truth. Many of these people, we've got enough criminals in our own country that we shouldn't be pointing the finger at people at the border and saying, hey, look, these criminals are coming.
No, and I mean, their statistics back that up. They just came out with, I think it was the Cato Institute, and I wish I could remember the exact numbers. But of course, the fentanyl, the people who are caught bringing fentanyl over the border are U.S. citizens.
Yes.
And immigrants, you know, immigrants have, it's like, I forget the statistic, it was like 0.02% of immigrants were captured with anything that was drug or anything like that. And, I went down to the border recently, and all of this stuff started in Eagle Pass.
Right.
And there was a group of migrants who were in this field, and they were, you know, there was a press conference set up, there was a congressman, and, you know, he had the migrants behind him, and he was sort of rallying against illegal immigration, and the whole thing was such a stage. It was such a political theater. But behind him, these migrants were out in the sun. There were children, like little kids and families. And while the press conference was going on, four people were carried out, having passed out in the sun, in the field. You know, and it was just so shocking. It's like, these people don't even have bottles of water, and we're accusing them of being drug traffickers. You know, I mean, it's just so frustrating that this narrative that they're, you know, bringing drugs, when really, if you talk to these people, they're just trying to get themselves and their children somewhere safe.
And you know, the worst part about it, Attorney Goldfinch, is that the Americans buy into this. There's nothing to corroborate any of it, yet they buy into it. And at a time when, as you stated, our nation needs immigrants to come in and fill these jobs. We got to take a hiatus. Our phone number is open at 844-967-2789. My guest is attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch, immigration, one of the top immigration attorneys in the nation. We'll return.
The Tap, the Todd Alba Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
That's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch. She is one of the top immigration lawyers in our country. You know, attorney Goldfinch, when you, the immigrant population in America is only 13.6%. of our nation. There's somewhere around, 49 to 50 million immigrants. This nation was built from immigration. And, you know, that there were no, the only true Americans were Native Americans. So everybody else who came were immigrants. So when we look at 13.6%, of the overall population, it's really not exactly that we're being overrun by immigrants, is it?
Of course we're not being overrun by immigrants, you know, but that rhetoric is so motivating and powerful because it's based in fear.
Right.
And I think, you know, at the end of the day, we've talked about this before, you know, humans are really tribal and afraid of change and difference. So when, you know, Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, you know, does a press conference and talks about, you know, the scourge, the surge of immigrants who are all coming across and they're just coming to, you know, commit crime and take our resources, that, you know, people believe him. And it spreads fear and panic amongst his supporters. And he knows it's not true. You know, the people who are saying these things know that it's not true, but they benefit mightily from it. You know, Greg Abbott is incredibly popular for what he's doing along the southern border with a lot of Texan voters. He's getting just a ton of support, donations, et cetera. And it's manipulation. It's what they're doing and what they're saying, because it's not accurate. I mean, the people who are in charge understand that we have such a need for labor in this country. And I think probably what we're going to see, unfortunately, is the economy is going to continue to suffer and struggle because of the lack of good labor that we have here, you know, as the baby boomer population ages, as we don't have people to care for them. Things will finally get bad enough that people will start telling the truth about immigration. Oh, actually, maybe we need immigrants, and let's talk about it from that angle. But right now, speaking about immigration as if it's a four-letter word benefits conservative Republican politicians more than being honest about the situation.
You know, all the razor wire that Greg Abbott put, you know, in the waterways has now the Supreme Court, a conservative Supreme Court, has overturned that and said, hey, this is you. The federal government determines these types of things. What you did was not right. It was wrong. We're going to remove it. Your thoughts on that?
That was a win for the Biden administration. So the backstory is that one of the things that Greg Abbott has done, he has this program called Operation Lone Star. It's a multi-billion-dollar program where he just essentially does immigration enforcement stuff all along the border. And, you know, has put those buoys in the middle of the river, which caused an uproar with the government of Mexico and the U.S. government. And another thing they did was put this razor wire along a 30-mile stretch of the border, and also in Eagle Pass, the area that I just visited. And it's, you know, it inhibits, of course, you know, people have died and drowned in this razor wire, but it also keeps Border Patrol from patrolling the area, patrolling the river, and from saving people. I mean, people have died and Border Patrol couldn't access them because of it. And so Border Patrol officers were removing the razor wire. The state of Texas sued, and that suit, it's still pending, but the injunction went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court sided with the Biden administration, which should not be a surprise to anyone because it's the supremacy clause of the Constitution, right? But federal immigration enforcement is a federal jurisdictional issue. There's just zero question about that. So, yes, it was a win for the Biden administration, and that's a relief, and it's not going to have these far-reaching impacts in other areas of the law. But on the other hand, it was only a 5-4 decision. You know, it wasn't as if it was a slam dunk. And so that's a little concerning. How is the court going to rule overall when this quick cases like this go up to it? You know, we don't know. So, and of course, the Abbott administration doesn't back down. When a federal judge issues an order telling them they're out of line, their tendency is to double down. And you'll see this in the, you know, the press conferences that Ken Paxton, our attorney general, will release. We'll just, you know, they'll just say, well, that was a bad decision and we're going to keep fighting. And, you know, it's like they just keep extending resources and battling along the border, which is frankly problematic for security. Because you think about it, we've got two jurisdictions, right? The federal government and the state government. And in a perfect world, those two jurisdictions would collaborate and they would cooperate. And the state would say, okay, feds, we got Shelby Park, we got you, we're going to patrol this area, let's have an MOU between ourselves, what access do you need, what can we do to make sure that we're working together and making this area very secure. Instead, they're fighting with each other, and they're not letting Border Patrol agents in, and it creates this whole, you know, chaos and confusion, and it's what the state is doing is making security worse along the southern border. It's not helping, but like I said, you know, Greg Abbott gets a lot of attention, and he's benefiting from this, so maybe he doesn't care that it's not actually helpful.
And you know, it's unfortunate, Attorney Goldfinch, that you, as prominent an attorney as you are in immigration and have spent your adult life addressing these issues, that many people, even in this listening audience, won't listen and believe what it is we are saying, which is 100% the truth. They'd rather believe in the, you know, the bull plop, the bull lies that they are hearing from politicians who are damaging this nation because the nation doesn't have, and businesses of this nation, because they just don't have enough people in the nation to work these jobs. And yet there are people who are listening to this show right now who are not going to believe one iota of what you and I have been talking about because they've been brainwashed into believing what these others are saying.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to this, you know, this idea of tribalism. But for me, sometimes it can be helpful, and sometimes this will move the needle when I talk to people. To go back and look at the political conversations and the cartoons around previous immigrant populations, like Italian, you know, Catholic,
Irish.
Do you need to take a break?
Yeah, yeah. Can you hang on? Music.
I can come back to this idea. Yeah, I'll wait.
Okay, all right, hang on. Attorney Lincoln, Kate Lincoln Goldfinch, 844-967-2789. We'll return.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Just letting you know that on Wednesday, the 24th, Todd will be back with us live in Wausau. So join us then from noon to 2.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican lawmakers are rebuffing Governor Evers' calls for paid family leave and more help for public education and the child care industry. Senate Republican Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu.
The surplus should be returned to the working taxpayers who have given the state government more than their money than is necessary.
LeMahieu delivered the Republican response to Governor Evers' State of the State speech last night. Groups that work with victims of domestic violence and sexual assault are about to lose $30 million in federal funding. A state Senate committee will consider what the state may do this week. Wisconsin ranks number 7 for domestic violence homicides adjusted for population. Domestic violence killings in Wisconsin went up 20% from 2021 to 22. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Chippewa Falls School District's Executive Director of Human Resources and Public Relations has been placed on leave. Superintendent Jeff Holmes made the announcement on Tuesday night as an investigation into Tim Johnson unfolds. Johnson was accused of improperly billing his previous district, the Glenwood City School District, for thousands of dollars of continuing education classes that he never took. Johnson was placed on paid administrative leave by the district pending the investigation. Eau Claire Transit is planning on an expansion of service through a new ride-sharing program. The Pilot Pass program would allow residents to request a ride during low travel times like weekends and after rush hour on weekdays. The intention is to cut down on the number of empty buses driving around the city when fewer people need transportation. The plan is still in the early stages of development, but Eau Claire Transit will be seeking community input on it at some point. It could be implemented in 2025. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Search for a new Bucks head coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks stunning the NBA by firing Adrian Griffin just after 43 games. Griffin had talked about the need to improve on defense, but things went from bad to worse. NBA analyst Tony Smith.
We know they lost a defensive stud in Drew Holiday, swapped him out with a guy who's not known for defense, Dame Lillard. So you know there was going to be a drop defensively, but I think they've dropped too far defensively. Back when they were winning championships and contending for a championship, they had been first in defensive rating 2 years in a row. They're now 22nd.
So Bucks assistant coach Joe Prunty has been appointed interim head coach while the team promises a brief search. Baseball, the Brewers signing Phillies first baseman Rhys Hoskins to a 2-year deal, $34 million with a 1-year option. The 30-year-old made his big league debut in Philly in 2017. College basketball, the Badgers beat the Minnesota Gophers 61-59. Wisconsin coming off a win over Indiana. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Patchy dense fog this morning. Could be a little light freezing drizzle, too, with temperatures hovering a little below the freezing mark. Otherwise, cloudy, dreary, kind of foggy off and on through the day with a high of 35. Tonight, could see a little light freezing rain or a few snow flurries late tonight, or low 32. Tomorrow, cloudy with showers and a high right around 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch. She is a top immigration attorney in the nation. You know, we were talking before we went to break. We were talking about tribalism. And I understand tribalism, but that should never outseat nationalism, should it?
Right. Well, and, you know, I mean, I do a lot of social media about these issues, and, it's some of the comments I get would just blow your mind. I mean, recently Greg Abbott said, you know, the only reason we don't shoot these migrants is because the Biden administration would charge us with murder. And I did a video about that in the comments from people. I mean, people were saying, like, we should just put landmines along the border. I mean, just horrific stuff. And it reminds me of the things that have been said in the past about other immigrants. In particular, there's this cartoon from the 1800s about Italians and how we should dispose of them. And there's this image of a bunch of Italian immigrants in a cage being dropped into the ocean. And, you know, I think about so many of these people on my comments, you know, or who are saying, yes, kill the migrants. You know, these people are of Italian, of Irish,
yes,
you know, of Eastern European descent, Jewish, Asian. You know, it's like people forget that they themselves and their own people were talked about in this way, and how quickly people just switch and turn into the persecutor. And it's heartbreaking. And so sometimes when we think about, like, moving the needle or getting into the hearts of people, you know, for me, it's talking to these migrants and hearing their stories and understanding who they really are and actually having so much respect for what they've gone through and how brave they are. But for the people who can't actually do that or won't do that, maybe it helps to remind them that this is just a new population that is the target of these hateful words and comments and thoughts. And that, you know, 20 years from now, it's going to be somebody else, you know? And so maybe we should just stop being so hateful and resisting change so much, because this is a nation of immigrants and it will change. Our population will shift and change over time. And that is inevitable. We cannot stop it, nor should we.
You know, Attorney Goldfinch, it, at the root of it is American. When you look in a dictionary for the definition of an American, it doesn't say Europeans. America is the whole human family. It's people from all over the world who've come here and established America. So it's part of why people don't want the history taught, right? Because as long as people can believe that, you know, Americans are Europeans, then we're going to get what we get. And I'm sorry if it hurts somebody's feelings, but it's the absolute truth. And it's at the root of why we can't get these kinds of things done, right? I mean, realize that the business community, which is telling the entire nation, we've got jobs, but we don't have people to work them. And if the economy of our nation is one of the most important things, wouldn't you think that should win out over all the other things?
You would. And in some ways, I think what we need to ask is our business community to be more loud about it.
Right.
You know, I've certainly seen that in the state of Texas when, you know, anti-immigrant laws come up in the state. And the business community will stay silent about it. You know, when we're in the committees before the Senate and talking about the impact of these laws, there's no one from the business community when they're going to be impacted. You know, some big anti-immigrant law passes in the state and people start canceling conferences and workers leave and construction jobs get paused and all of that stuff is a reality. And so maybe that's one thing that we could, you know, ask and hope for is that the industry is, you know, the lobbies of industry will start to speak up more about the need for immigration reform, and maybe that would finally move the needle.
You know, we're in the state of Wisconsin, for heaven's sakes, and the farms and the dairy farms, mm-hmm. and those, the majority of the people working those, they're immigrants. And and so yet people in our state are screaming and yelling at the immigrants, and we've got to do something about those people. Well, for heaven's sakes, the farmers don't agree with that because that's what's keeping them going.
That's right. That's right. I mean, and maybe even some of the farmers themselves are, you know, anti-immigrant as a position, even while they employ immigrants. I was recently given a presentation to a group of Republican men, and one of they were all yelling at me. It got really loud there at the end. And one of them was saying, you know, he's going on and on about how immigrants don't have health insurance. And I was arguing with him about that. I said, that's just not true. A lot of them do have health insurance. And he said, no, I know they don't. You know, and I asked him how he knew, and he said, because I employ them.
I know.
You know, this guy's whole business is run by undocumented immigrants, and yet here he is yelling at me about how immigrants all need to get deported. It's just the sort of hypocrisy and the unwillingness to just accept the reality immigrants are needed.
Can you take a couple calls?
Sure, yeah.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl, and your guest. You know, I hear you reference Republicans and Greg Abbott. There's one party that is fighting in court to have barriers taken down to allow this influx. And if you look at the numbers, if you just look at the numbers.
Hey, CJ, she's there, okay? She knows the numbers. Go ahead. Better than you.
Well, the last month of the Trump administration, there was 30,000 illegals. Last month of December, underneath the Biden administration, December of last year, was 302,000. President Biden campaigned on having illegals come. There's the difference. Republicans want legal immigration. We want a huge wall with a great big door in it. So please stop referencing Republicans that we don't want immigration. We want legal immigration.
Okay, CJ, we've got you. Thank you very much. I wish we had more time. You want to respond to that, Attorney?
Sure. I mean, you know, people say this a lot. They say we want legal immigration. And I think it's important to remember that seeking asylum is legal, that parole programs are legal, you know, that we need to be honest about what is legal immigration, because I think people throw that around but don't actually understand the immigration system. I will also say that those numbers that he mentioned don't reflect the numbers that I've seen, and I think data and statistics can be manipulated. I will say that the Cato Institute just came out with some statistics that show that actually the Biden administration on a monthly basis deports 3.5 times the amount of immigrants that the Trump administration did. So this you know, theory that, oh, the Biden administration wants to take down the razor wire so that they can allow in immigrants, that's not accurate. It's not as if they want to just remove barriers. They are patrolling the borders effectively. What they don't want is another governmental entity getting in their way and hampering their ability to enforce and protect the border. And that's what Texas is doing. The razor wire keeps Border Patrol from, you know, driving their boats up and down the river and accessing a park if they need to go after somebody. It's not as if there's this safety mechanism in place that they want to remove. It's an instability to have Texas doing what they're doing. So I think that, you know, it's really easy to say, well, the Biden administration, you know, has open borders because we hear that. It's not accurate. The Biden administration has deported way more immigrants than any other administration in history,
all right,
actually.
Stephen from Green Bay. Stephen, quickly, thank you.
I just wanted to say there was a point in my life when I was growing up that I had a dad who believed the same stuff CJ does, and I was indoctrinated with that and taught that as a child, and I grew up my life believing in that. And so when I got with my wife, I started, you know, we started having these conversations as people that are dating do, and she started looking at me weird, and she was like, what are you talking about? And one of the things that we have to remember is that we have people just like myself that are being indoctrinated by their parents and brought up with this. And this really has to be something that is talked about in schools and taught to our children, so our children aren't growing up to be people going in the workforce thinking the garbage that is being put out there.
Hey, Stephen, thank you very much for the call. Attorney Goldfinch?
Yeah, I want to commend you, Stephen, because I think it takes a lot to break out of what we've been taught as kids and to start thinking differently. And so that you open your mind and your wife helped you do that is, I love that. I love hearing stories like that. And I totally agree. You know, when we raise children, we need to, it's what I keep saying, we need to be honest. We need to tell the truth about what immigration means for this country and the beauty of it and the need for it. And when we start just, you know, rattling off like words like open borders and immigration and illegals and drug trafficking and all of that stuff, it's just like talking points that's not real. It is so harmful for all of us. It's really damaging for all of us. It's an easy thing to do, but we need to stop and think and actually research and investigate what's real and speak from that angle.
Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. And I really appreciate the commentator coming onto the air today to discuss this issue. The question I have for her is, I am pro-immigration, and most Americans are. But the question I have for her is, if you see some of the issues that are arising in New York, Chicago, Denver, some of the major cities in the country. It was reported about 2 or 3 days ago that the hospitals in Denver, they are on the verge of going bankrupt because of unpaid services by the migrants. The residents of Chicago, many of those communities, the Black communities, they have been under-resourced for decades, and now the monies that could have been invested in their communities, those funds are going to the migrants. And so I would like for her to answer, is it fair to take limited resources from low-income, native-born population? I understand the migrants, they are leaving areas where they are under much distress, but we also have to think about the people here, the native-born population, who is also suffering. So
you want to respond to that, Attorney?
I would love to.
Okay,
yeah.
I got to get you to just hang on for about 40 seconds. Another short hiatus, and then we'll let you respond on the other side. Attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch will return.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time to give a hoot. Learn all about the mysterious nighttime birds calling this area home when you join the Beaver Creek Reserve Citizen Science and Education team for a lesson in all things owls. This fun family event is being held at the Brewing Project on North Oxford Avenue in Eau Claire, Wednesday, January 31st. And yes, hooting like an owl will be encouraged. More information on the Chippewa Falls Area Chamber's website, chippewachamber.org. If shopping in support of small businesses is more your thing, you may want to put Saturday, February 3rd on your calendar. The Love of Vendors, Crafters, and Small Businesses Fair happening just in time for Valentine's Day. Stop in anytime at Southview Elementary in Chippewa Falls, again Saturday, February 3rd. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
93.5 The Tap.
If you do want me, give me a little shelter. If you don't want me, don't leave me on down. But if you need me, show me that you love me. And when I'm feeling blue and I want you, there's just one thing that you should do. Just give me some kind of sign, girl.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. That same number. My guest is attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch. And thank you for hanging on. I know we hadn't planned on you spending this much time, so I really appreciate it. You want to respond to Cassandra's?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the issue is, so Cassandra raised the issue of migrants in Democratic cities around the United States, like in Denver and Chicago and D.C. and New York City. And the thing to understand about that situation is that that is a political theater that has been created by Governor Greg Abbott and DeSantis, because what they have done is they have taken migrants out of their normal flow. So they go down and they grab groups of migrants at the border and they say, hey, do you want to ride to New York City? And the migrants might say, well, I'm going to Maryland and that's close, so I'll get on the bus, right? And they voluntarily get on these buses and they're taken and dropped in these cities where, for example, in New York, they have a city ordinance that says they will provide shelter to anyone who has no shelter. And so they've gotten themselves in the situation where they have a busload of migrants who show up because of their ordinance. They've got to find shelter for these people. What happens naturally with migrants when they come in is 90% of them have friends or family somewhere in the United States. And they make their way, you know, via Greyhound, or they stay at maybe a nonprofit shelter along the border, and then they make their way naturally. But what Abbott has done is he has taken them out of their flow and deliberately dumped them in Democratic cities with the intention of creating problems for those cities. And he intentionally selects Democratic cities to show them, you know, the problem of their policies. And so then these cities have to deal with migrants who all of a sudden arrive in droves without a plan. Maybe their cell phones are dead by that point. They don't have a way to reach their family. And the thing that I will share is that we have to, this is another one of those issues where it would be really easy to say, like, oh man, it's even impacting all these cities. And, you know, like I think her name was Cassandra said, the hospitals can't pay their bills. And it's just, it sounds so real, doesn't it? But this is one of those where we have to dig just a little bit deeper and say, huh, why are all these migrants going to these cities in buses? Who is behind that? And what are they gaining from this? Because it's not real. It's a political theater that is intended to benefit Republican governors.
Okay, one last call. Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we, the people, ultimately are the government, and that means all of us. Second, we don't have an illegal immigration problem in this country. We have an illegal employment problem in this country. Remember, the Republicans are about one thing, and that's dividing and conquering. If it's one group against another, that is their goal. It sounds to me from some of the things I've heard that, you know, it's going to now be the brown people against maybe the black people. I mean, whatever way they can divide any of us, that's what they do. And one thing I know from California, which I think is quite hilarious, is years ago, of course, California used to be Mexico, but years ago, You know, they had no problem getting the slave labor from these migrants that come here. But, you know, when the migrants want to start their own business, want to break away, want to actually live the American dream, oh, boy, then it, all of a sudden they become these anti-immigrant people, and they're all over the place in terms of, you know, no, we can't have immigration here and blah, blah, blah. So thank you very much. I do want to say also I do believe in Medicare for all, and I honestly think anybody that's coming over the border or anybody that's in this country, I don't want them sitting next to me, legal or undocumented, you know, sneezing on me.
Hey.
So I do think that we do need to have medical
hey,
for all.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. So Trini Goldfinch, what do you want to say in the last couple minutes to our audience about the truth and fiction and why it's important that people need to know the truth?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for, I really appreciated the last caller and all of the comments. It's been a lively discussion. I always love coming on your show, Earl. And I think, you know, we've touched on it throughout this conversation, but I think the bottom line is, you know, some of us might approach this from a humanitarian angle and say, wow, these migrants who are at the southern border deserve our humanity and our respect. And they are not bad people. But that may not be motivating for people, and that's okay. But what all of us should care about is the fact that our nation, our economy, is suffering because of Congress's inability to recognize the need for immigration, and that immigration is a positive thing. And that if our leaders could come together and pass immigration reform that would increase employment, immigration opportunities, increase family-based opportunities, humanitarian cases, et cetera, that would naturally create the influx of legal immigration that we need while also completely calming any chaos at the southern border. But it's this business of lying to ourselves about the fact that we need immigration and allowing our leaders to lie to us about it that is continuing to harm everyone. And I think in this election year, this is going to be such a hot topic. And my encouragement, my invitation to everyone is to avoid the temptation to listen to Republican or right-wing talking points about immigrants being bad, because it's a natural knee-jerk thing to listen to those.
I think we lost
the politician.
Well, thank you very much, Attorney Goldfinch. I really, truly appreciate it. Keep up the good work, and clearly we'll be back in touch with you soon.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. All right. That's Attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch. We've got to take a short hiatus. When we come back, we're going to be joined by none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action.
Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center. The entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues. Crudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From Nevada primary Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Crudy brings on-the-ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
Viva Las Vegas!
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. CBS.